Well, this is March 1st, 2022. This is Al Ness from Westfield, Indiana. Sounds like we're all having a lovely day today. It was in the 60s here today. Sunny, fantastic day. So I just pray that this computer will stay hooked up and we can get through this tonight okay. And we're from Westfield, Indiana, where we say that the religious freedom is an oxymoron. I have a Catholic Bible behind me here on my shelf. That's also an oxymoron. And we say that the body of Christ is not a church, and the body of Christ is not a religion. The body of Christ does not agree with the tenets of Christianity. So let's start with a word of prayer, and I'll get into our study tonight, which should be interesting as always. And I hope you receive, if not, you may not be on the Tony's email list, but let me know if you don't receive it. I can send you one later. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for this time to study your word and learn your truth. We ask you to be with everybody tonight too. On the study and all the members of the body of Christ that we study to learn your truth. And we just feel sorry for those who do not study and are deceived by Satan. Father, we just thank you for our health and our peace and our freedoms. We ask you to keep those for us and keep this word true. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Barney's maps of Paul's journeys he sent out a few weeks ago, very helpful. So thank you, Barney. Those are going to be helpful for my study tonight, too, as well, because I had to really look at those a lot to figure some things out. And I've been studying some thoughts that I had about the book of Revelation, and I think you've heard me say some of this before, but I'm going to go into detail tonight. When studying the book of Revelation, it's important to keep in mind when it could have been written to note that Revelation of the New Testament. Can you still hear me okay? Yeah, the mic's locked on. Okay. Maybe I should just switch back to my old way of doing it. Okay. So when Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:2. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:2. Second Corinthians 12 says, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Verse 2 says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise. Dice, unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such one will I glory, yet of myself I will not, but it's. Now the handout I gave you was just going to help show the position of Revelation in the book of Acts and in relation to Paul's ministry. And it's my opinion and belief that Paul was referring to John, who wrote Revelation in what we just read. Of course, this is in opposition to many who say that John must have written Revelation in his old age because it's the last book in the Bible. And we know the books of the Bible are not in chronological order. But John wrote in Revelation 1, 9 through 10, how he was in the Spirit. Revelation 1, 9 through 10. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that was called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice, trumpet. So he was said he was in the Spirit. And again, and John wrote in Revelation 4, 1 and 2, 4, 1 and 2, verse 1 says, after this I looked and beheld a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So again, John says he was in the Spirit. John wrote in Revelation 17:3, and also in 21:10, he said, and he carried me away in the Spirit, in those two verses. So John was definitely out of the body and in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and was in the future day of the Lord, not meaning on a Sunday or the Lord's day. He was in the day of the Lord. If Paul wrote 2 Corinthians in A.D. 57, the 14 years prior would be A.D. 43. I'm not great on math, but I think that's true. If Saul was converted in A.D. 37 and arrived in Jerusalem 3 years later, that would be A.D. 40, which it says in Galatians 1:18, it was 3 years later. John's vision could have occurred before missionary journey. So according to Galatians 1:18 through 19, Galatians 1:18 through 19, Saul did not meet John on his first return to Jerusalem from Damascus. He only met Peter and James. Saul was quickly brought to Caesarea and then to Tarsus. So in Galatians 1:18 through 19, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none, save the Lord's brother. So Paul didn't say he met John on that visit to Rome. So Saul was brought from Tarsus, then to Antioch, Syria, by Barnabas in Acts 11:25-26. And you don't need always to go there, Tony, because I'm just giving these references, but I think most of us probably get the general idea of this scripture, the storyline here. And that's where they spent at least a year. And Paul's second return to Jerusalem was with Barnabas to bring an offering from Antioch to Judea because of the great dearth that took place around AD 43. So now Saul was in Judea in 1843, and he was there when Herod killed James and imprisoned Peter. And even when Herod was struck suddenly ill and died in AD 44. And this was given in Acts 12:23. So then Saul and Barnabas then returned from Jerusalem to Antioch. This was Acts 12:25. The second visit to Jerusalem was before Paul's first missionary journey. Saul could have known John in Jerusalem before Saul and Barnabas returned to Antioch, in Acts 12:25 in AD 40. So I believe this is the time Paul refers to in 2 Corinthians 12:2, that 14 years before he knew a man such as John. John would have written down the details of his vision, and the other disciples either read about it. Revelation is so symbolic that they probably did not fully understand it. There are hints of this in some of their epistles, as we'll discuss later. But this would have been at least 6 years after the dispersion created by Saul. So there could have been some assemblies of believers in those seven cities in Asia as Christian. I believe John was taken in the spirit the Pharos, which was west of and in view of the seven cities of Asia. But those cities did not, did exist in John's day. But since John wasn't known to be in Ephesus until his later life, scholars think that John had to have been exiled to Patmos, which is east of Ephesus, and then he wrote Revelation. There was no broad ministry to the Gentiles in AD 43. Peter was used by the Lord to open the doors of the kingdom of heaven to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, and likely that happened after Saul came to Jerusalem in AD 40 and before Saul's second return in AD 43. At that time, this was an isolated incident involving Gentiles partaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Being in Acts 13:4 and first turned to the Gentiles in Acts 13:46. During his first missionary journey, Paul was stoned and left for dead in Lystra in Acts 14:19, where it could have been possible that he had an out-of-body experience. Possible. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, though, many assume that Paul was referring to himself as being out of the body in Acts 19 when he was stoned. But the timing doesn't fit. That stoning occurred at least 2.5 years before Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem in Acts 15. And that was in AD 51. So Paul's stoning in Lystra took place around AD 48, which is only 9 years, 2 Corinthians 12:2. In 14 years before. It was 9 years before, not 14 years before. Furthermore, the scriptures say nothing of Paul having an out-of-body experience or a spiritual experience in Lystra in Acts 14:19. So if John wrote Revelation in AD 43, this was a few years before Paul's ministry to the uncircumcised Gentiles began. To the uncircumcised Gentiles by any of the apostles. Acts chapter 8. And Peter was sent to Cornelius at Caesarea in Acts chapter 10. Revelation was written to the overcomers of the seven assemblies. They're often called the angels of the synagogue. And that you can find in the Companion Bible Appendix 120, Roman numeral I, dot 2. And you can look that up on your own, but these synagogues could have been in the then present or in the then future. About the circumcised of Israel in the future, as there were no Gentiles in the plan of Israel when it was written. So when Revelation was written, there were no Gentiles in the picture yet, in general, if it was written in AD 43. So let's look at Revelation and Paul's ministry. These seven churches in Asia are located in an area to which Paul had a desire to minister. So my question is it possible that John's revelation addressed to the seven assemblies of Asia had any connection to Paul's desire to minister there? Was Paul somehow influenced by John's revelation to minister to the Jews in Asia? It's a thought. Paul's first missionary journey was confined to the cities in Galatia. During Paul's second missionary journey, he traveled through eastern and northern Asia, and Paul wanted to turn and go south and preach the word in Asia, but he was forbidden by the Holy Ghost in Acts 16:6-7. Paul was directed to Macedonia instead. During Paul's third missionary journey, Paul made two passes through Asia, first through the interior, and then back along the coast. He spent 2 years in Ephesus, so that they all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jew and Greeks, as it says in Acts 19:10. So, Tony, if you want to bring up Acts 19:10, just to show that's what it says. Acts 19:10. It says that all that they that dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now bring up Acts 19:16, where Demetrius, the silversmith, proclaimed the following. Acts 19:16. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made by hands. Now, in 1 Corinthians 16:19, Paul writes, "The churches of Asia salute you." The churches of Asia salute you. And in 2 Corinthians 1:8, says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." So you can see by these verses that Paul was definitely working through the cities of Asia. So again, the question remains if Revelation might have had an influence on where Paul directed his ministries. Just a thought. So let's turn to another thought. The return of Christ was imminent during the Acts period. Another thing to keep in mind is that the apostles believed that the Lord would return to earth in their lifetime. The events of John's revelation were expected to happen in their lifetime. Had Israel acknowledged Jesus as the Christ of God, then certainly those things could have occurred. According to Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks of years, the Lord would have returned in about AD 85. This was understood by the apostles, including Paul. If this was so, according to Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks of years, the Lord would have returned in about AD 85. This was understood by the apostles, including Paul. If this was so, how could the book of Revelation have been written after AD 85, as some Bible scholars teach? In Matthew 19:28 and Luke 22:30, the disciples were told that they would sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. That may be why they felt they had a need to replace Judas with Matthias. In Acts 1:6, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom?" Then after Jesus was taken up, two men in white apparel said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." That was in Acts. Peter quoted the prophet Joel concerning the last days in Acts 2:17-21. They sold all their possessions and pooled their money in Acts 2:45-434. The return of Christ seemed to be any time. If Revelation was written around AD 43, then what was in Revelation 22:20 have had an impact. Bring up Revelation 22:20. Thank you, Tony, for posting. Doing a great job. Glad you got back from your meeting and weren't too late. Revelation 22:20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Surely I come quickly. Well, what does that mean? They felt that Christ was going to be coming back very soon. In Hebrews 1:2, Paul writes, "God, that in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." In these last days. In Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." As you see the day approaching. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. Paul says, "As the day of the Lord is at hand." As the day of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, it says, "Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 7:29. Got Tony panting here. 1 Corinthians 7:29. "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." The time is short. 1 Corinthians 11:26. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So we can see the attitude here that because of John's revelation, perhaps, that the return of the Lord is imminent. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 23 through 28. 1 Corinthians 15, 23 through 28. I'm going to start at 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all enemies under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So Paul, in writing, may have gotten some things from the Lord directly by revelation, but I think that John's revelation could have had an influence on some of the things Paul knew. Even other apostles wrote evidence of things from revelation. We can go to 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7. Even Peter said, "But the end of all things is at hand." But the end of all things is at hand. And let's go to 2 Peter 3:10. 2 Peter 3:10. I'm sorry, I just have a lot of verses to make my case, but I guess this is what Bible study is all about. And we'll go to verse 13. But the day of God will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. So compare that to Revelation 20:11 and 21:1, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. New earth. He probably heard that from John's revelation. Of course, John, that's John who wrote Revelation. you don't have to do these, Tony. I'll just read them. But in 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And ye have heard that Antichrist he may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And in 1 John 4:3, he says, "And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come, that it should come." And I didn't know this, but the name Antichrist is only found in 1st and 2nd John's epistles. Nowhere else in the Bible in that context. Even at the end of Acts, Paul proclaimed to the chief of the Jews, "Because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain," to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And in James 4, 7 and 8, James 4, 7 and 8, James said, Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So any writings during the Acts period was colored by this fact that there is an expectation of the return of Christ and that it was imminent. This includes the three of the Gospels, seven of Paul's epistles, and the seven general epistles, the Acts, and the Revelation. All of these writings had the Jew in mind with all their restored kingdom promises and hopes and blessings. They are all connected to John's revelation. But even in Paul's post-Acts period, did Paul have any knowledge of the Lord's timing? Is it safe to say that Paul did not know how long the new dispensation of the calling out of the body of Christ would last? Well, Hosea did prophesy 2 days, but who could have foreseen the 2,000 years that we have seen? Here's some other things to consider. It is true that there was much prophesied about the future in the Old Testament, which Paul knew very well. We do not know all the details of what the Lord could have revealed directly to Paul during the Acts period or what he might have learned from other apostles. In Galatians 1:11 through 12, Paul wrote, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For neither I received it from man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." By revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I do not believe that Paul meant John's revelation of Jesus Christ in that statement. I believe that Paul received some direct revelations from the Lord. But it's interesting when you look at that verse, it says, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just interesting. Consider these verses. For example, in Galatians 4:26, Paul wrote about Jerusalem, which is above. How did he know that? Where did he hear that? And in Hebrews 11:10, Paul writes about a city which hath foundations. In Revelation, it had 12 foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Where did Paul learn that? In Hebrews 11:16, Paul said, "But they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them a city." In Hebrews 12:22, Paul said, "Write unto the city, the God Jerusalem." And the last one here is Hebrews 13:14. Paul says, "For there we have." Being city, but we seek one to come. So, did Paul learn these from Revelation? From John? Because here's what John says in Revelation 3:12. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. In Revelation 21:2, John said, and I saw the holy city New Jerusalem come for her husband. And in Revelation 21:10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending. In Revelation 21:14, it says, and the wall of the city has, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So was Paul repeating what John had written here? Sounds like they're very similar. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. Paul learned about this from John's revelation. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Will God bring with him? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So where did Paul learn that? In 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. All sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And how did Paul know to write in 2 Thessalonians 1:4-10, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, and in 2:2-12, sin and the son of perdition? So I can read these. So that we ourselves glory in you and of God, the persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing is it a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with these mighty angels. That's in Revelation 19. Not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, which was in Revelation 19:21, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they shall believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In 1 Thessalonians 2:2, Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." That comes from Revelation. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. Verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2:2-7. "Yet ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth on the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." That's in Revelation 13:11-8. "Remember ye not that it was when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way." So we can see evidence that Paul was repeating some things from the book of Revelation. 2 Corinthians 4:10 says that, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." 2 Corinthians 4:10. Whoops, I must have got that one wrong. Sorry, Tony. My bad. Romans 2:5. "For the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." We can compare that to Revelation 6:17 and 19:15. I don't expect y'all to follow this. I'm just laying out the plan here, so I think you get the gist. Now here's another interesting thing. I don't know how I came across this, but I just came across this a couple of days ago. The rest of the dead. Here's an interesting tidbit concerning Paul and Revelation. In Revelation 25, let's read Revelation 25, chapter 20, verse 5. Revelation doesn't have 25 chapters. And so follow this closely. In Revelation 25, it talks about the overcomers in verse 4 talks about the overcomers. And then it says, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection," or the former resurrection of the two. Yeah, let's go back to 4. "And I saw all thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was for beheaded. For the enemies either had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years through the millennial kingdom. So the dead live not again until 1,000 years are finished." So the rest of the dead is taught by some that these are the unsaved. So where do they get that? The word translated rest, or rest of, is the Greek loipoi, L-O-I-P-O-Y. And if you see Bullinger's notes on Romans 1:13, that same Greek loipoi is translated other in that verse in Romans 1:13. And let me look it up. It's Romans 1:13. Paul was saying that, "Now we would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you," talking about the Romans, "but was let hitherto, or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." And Bullinger says that this term, loipoi, which is other Gentiles, and he notes that Paul frequently uses the significant term, the rest, to designate the unsaved. So loipoi can be translated other, the rest, the remainder, the remnant. There's several different choices. So Bullinger gives several reference verses where this word means the rest, or other would mean the unsaved, but he also includes Revelation 25. So then one might deduce that the rest of the dead could mean the unsaved, as scholars usually teach. But when you understand that Revelation could have been written by John before Paul wrote anything, and of course Revelation was written by John and not by Paul, then Revelation 20 verse 5 speaks of resurrection, and only the saved are resurrected. The rest of the dead live not again until, which means they were resurrected to life. The unsaved are said to perish, and therefore have no resurrection to life. And that's quoted many times in John's gospel. Therefore, Paul uses of the word loipoi would have come after John's use of the word in Revelation. That the rest of the dead in Revelation means the unsaved. Just a little tidbit. Well, let's talk about the Gentiles. How much time we got? Okay. If John's revelation was written before the Gentiles were grafted into the kingdom of heaven, this begs the question, where will the will there be Gentiles saved during that time of Revelation? Or what happens to the Gentiles when God redeems Israel and to the fulfillment of the new covenant of Israel? Will there be any Gentiles offered salvation apart from Israel after the epiphania of Christ, and when the body of Christ appears with him and is raised together and seated together with Christ at the right hand of the Father in heaven? At the exclusion of Gentiles? Well, some believe that the Gentiles who are saved in this present dispensation and body of so the wedding lamb in Revelation, Israel is lo ami at the present. The marriage is not now ready, as indicated in Matthew 28:8, age of the lamb. The guests will not be under. This wedding takes place after the return of kingdom, and Revelation concerns only Israel. The woman who becomes remarried to the Lord is Israel. who for the bride of the Lamb is the holy city in New Jerusalem, as it says in Revelation 21, 2 and 9. So the Greek ethnos is used throughout the New Testament. It's termed Jewish people, Gentiles, or heathen. In some cases, it means the nations of Israel. The Hebrew for Gentile is goy. So the man from Ethiopia was saved in Acts chapter 8, but apparently he was not considered a Gentile. In fact, there was no stir about his conversion that makes me think he was already a proselyte. But he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was coming back with a scroll in his hand, so he was probably a proselyte. Cornelius, on the other hand, and his house were saved before John wrote Revelation. Although the body of Christ consists of chosen people from all nations, the body of Christ was not known at the writing of the Revelation. And I believe that it will no longer exist on earth in the time of the Revelation. You may disagree, but that's what I believe. For now, if we look at the evidence in scriptures, a case can be made that Revelation was written in the first half of the Acts period, and before most of the writings of the epistles of the apostles. Revelation could have had a significant influence on the minds of the apostles. Revelation could have had an influence on where Paul conducted his ministries in Asia. And I conclude this study and leave you with some questions in the light of what was presented. What happens to the believers in Christ that are not chosen to be members of the body of Christ? Do they identify themselves with Christ, or are they just followers or just believers? If they are promised eternal life, where will they enjoy it? What is the Book of Life? The Lamb's Book of Life contains the names of those of Israel who will occupy the holy city, New Jerusalem, according to Revelation 21:27. The books of works pertain to Israel's works for judgment, Revelation 20:12. Do these books pertain to the Gentiles, believers, or the body of Christ? Just questions. That concludes my study. Lord, thank you for these words today. We hope the hearers have been edified and blessed. We praise you and love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.